All right. Thanks very much. That was Autumn Crow from the West Virginia Rivers Coalition. Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters first, and then we'll take questions from nonprofit groups and environmental groups and others who want to ask questions. So I'm going to call on folks who put a note into the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen, and then I will unmute you and unmute yourself, and you can ask your question. The first one is from Jeff Young from Newsweek. Jeff, unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. My question has to do with the upcoming talks later this month on a UN Global Plastics Treaty. And I'm wondering if you see any overlap or intersection between the remedies for plastic waste that are under consideration for the Plastics Treaty and the issue that you're describing here with direct water pollution from these facilities. Are there specific outcomes from the treaty that you are hopeful might help address the waste issue that you're thinking about there from these facilities? Thanks.
Jen Duggan from EIP, you want to tackle that one?
Sure. I'm happy to start. I think that the Plastics Treaty is incredibly important. There is overlap in terms of the goals of trying to minimize new plastic and better manage, the existing plastic that is in circulation, that's in use right now. I think the important thing to note, though, is that it will not directly address the discharges of these harmful nutrient and toxic water pollutant from these plants anytime soon, if at all. And so we already have a great law on the books that, if it were to be implemented, would require dramatic reductions in discharges from these plants simply by requiring these companies to put in place modern pollution controls that have been available for decades.
That answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Our next question is coming from Steve Tolokin of Plastics News. I'm going to unmute you, Steve. Unmute yourself and ask your question.
Okay, great. Thank you for the press conference. I guess I had, if I could ask two questions. Do other industries have the same problems around lack of enforcement of wastewater discharge, or is there something, unique about the plastics industry in your research? And then just it broadly, maybe it's kind of a basic question. Why do you think the EPA has been so ineffective at regulating these wastewater emissions? I don't know if you have any context you could provide around that. So thanks.
Jen Duggan, the VIP.
Sure, I'm happy to answer that question. It's a great question. Unfortunately, this is not the only industry where EPA has failed to update these federal water pollution standards in decades. It is an across-the-board problem. And our lawsuit challenging EPA's failure to do its job under the Clean Water Act was targeted not just at the plastics industry, but oil refineries, other chemical plants, fertilizer and pesticides manufacturers, as well as some metals manufacturing as well. So this problem is not necessarily unique to the plastics industry. It is common with big industrial polluters, particularly in the petrochemical space. And part of that, the reason that we have targeted and identified these industries is because of their significant environmental and public health footprint. So these are the industries that EPA should be prioritizing, updating the standards, particularly when the modern pollution controls are commercially available. They are in use. In some cases, municipal water plants are doing a good job of taking out nutrient pollution. Some plants already are required to take out and reduce heavy metals. These are technologies that are already available. their common sense, and there's no excuse for EPA's, failure to require that these industries come into the modern age. There are several reasons I think that, this is a nonpartisan challenge for EPA. These have not been updated across the board since the Reagan administration in the early 1990s. Part of the reason for that is that EPA, the program, has budget cuts. They have had limited staff to do their job. But the courts have repeatedly said that a lack of resources is no excuse for complying with these kinds of statutory obligations. EPA could easily shift resources for this mandatory program. There are also smarter ways for EPA to tackle some of these challenges, like looking at cross sector, cross industry solutions. So there is absolutely no excuse for EPA's failure to get the job done and require these big industrial polluters to use modern pollution controls that really can dramatically reduce the amount of pollution, between 50 and 95%, depending upon the pollutant. So this would be a significant improvement in water quality for downstream communities and for the environment.
I would also add the thought, why focus on the plastics industry? It's a very rapidly growing industry in the US. As we say in the report, we have 10 new plastics plants that are proposed, 24 expansions underway. So the fact that it's growing so rapidly in the US, it's a rapidly growing source of pollution as well. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Our next question comes from Mike Tony from West Virginia. I'm going to unmute you, Mike, and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the mention before of citizen suits. Just wanted to ask, just in general, very broad, from a very broad view, whether citizen suits, how much they'll you see them growing in importance in the upcoming Trump administration, given the past Trump regime's proclivity for environmental rollbacks. Just how important will citizen suits focused on the plastics industry be under the new Trump administration? Thanks very much.
Great question, Mike. And then remind us, which paper are you with? Which papers, probably?
Oh, sorry, with the Charleston Gazette Mail.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll open that up to both Jen Duggan and Autumn Crow, if you want to tackle it. Jen, you want to try? And then Autumn, you want to add your thoughts?
Yes, I will, just note that during the first Trump administration, we did see a pretty significant dip in the amount of enforcement cases that, that EPA brought. So we do think that it will be very important for groups like the Bayou City Waterkeeper, like West Virginia Rivers Coalition, like For a Better Bayou, to fill that gap and hold these polluters accountable under the law.
Autumn Crow, any thoughts from West Virginia?
Yeah, I'll add to that. And thanks, Mike. That's a great question. Our taxpayer dollars go to these regulatory agencies. We shouldn't have to rely on citizen suits. We should have these agencies do their job to protect our water and the health of our citizens. But the fact of the matter is that they're not. And so, citizens have to take matters into their own hands, unfortunately. And it can be very costly. It can be very time consuming. for environmental groups, environmental law firms, citizens to have to hold these industries accountable. But unfortunately, that's often one of the only ways that we are able to do so, as with we've seen in West Virginia, with Chemours, formerly known as DuPont. It took citizens suing the company to be able to better protect their public health.
That answer your question, Mike?
Yes, thank you. Much appreciated.
All right. Our next question comes from Sammy Fretwell, reporter for the state newspaper in South Carolina. Go ahead, Sammy. I unmuted you. Unmute yourself as well.
I was just curious to follow up on that. Is you know, this report is talking about how the EPA has really not gotten things done, and calling on an more effort to oversee the plastics industry, but the administrations are getting ready to change. Is this report one that you know, has a nice idea to it, but is it realistic that anything is going to change given the change in administrations?
Dan Duggan.
Sure, that's a good question, Sammy. I think what's important here is that no matter what Trump's plans are, Trump cannot unilaterally waive away these kinds of mandatory statutory requirements. So this is a must-do under the statute. And courts have generally had little patience for agencies that don't comply with these kinds of mandatory obligations. And the Clean Water Act has a very clear mandate that EPA update these water pollution standards to keep pace with technology. And even one of the most conservative courts in the country, the US Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, has ruled to this effect. We're in this fight for the long haul. There is way too much at stake for downstream communities and for our waterways. And our case now is in the courts. If we win, EPA will have to follow the law. And if they don't follow through, then we're prepared to go back to court. I would also just note that President Trump's pick to run the EPA pledged earlier this week to protect clean air and clean water, and we are going to hold him to that promise with our partners.
James Hyatt, you also have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I just raised my hand. I think, here in Louisiana, we've already experienced a long, long Republican administration. Clean water should not be a political issue. Water is life. We and the systems that support us and the web of life require water. And there's no substitute. There's no substitute for it, and so for any administration to take the side of continued polluting industry or excess plastic production that is not required at the cost of the ability for clean water is I mean what a mistake that would be. And I just don't think even the most conservative or industry pro group and the more that we contaminate, the worse it will be.
Thank you so much. Our next question is from Elise Plunk, reporter for the Louisiana Illuminator. I'm going to unmute you. Elise, if your microphone works, ask your question. If not, I can read it. Go ahead. Elise, why don't you try asking your question?
Gotcha, is my microphone working?
Yeah, it's working.
Excellent. So I was just wondering if you guys had any information offhand about how many of the 58 out of the 70 plants in violation of their permits were in Louisiana, and how many outdated permits were specifically for Louisiana. Thank you so much.
We have that information. Kira,
That's also
is
good.
that?
Thanks for asking your question. So to the comparison for the 58 plants in violation, I just want to first clarify that those are plants that had violated their permit limits at least once from 2021 to 2023. The comparable number for Louisiana is 16. So 16 Louisiana plants had at least one permit limit violation between that time. We've got 13 facilities in Louisiana that are operating on those administratively continued permits as of EPA data in August of 2024. Currently, which I think might be the question that you were getting at, I would say that I've got 12 facilities in Louisiana were in non-compliance with the Clean Water Act as of August 2024, according to EPA data. We also, for whatever it's worth, in case anyone else is wondering, we have a spreadsheet that goes along with the report that outlines all the specific facilities in our analysis and provides the facility specific information.
And to be clear, we have a total of, I think, 22 plants in Louisiana. And so that's a sizable portion with violations. Okay. Our next question is coming from Colleen D. Guzman. Are you with Houston Public Media? Colleen, I'm going to unmute you and you can ask your question. Let me just get this going here. There we go. I'm going to unmute you and go ahead, Colleen. Colleen, are you there? Oh. Okay, so she's having trouble with the unmute button. She asks the question, could a summary also be given on plants in Texas? We definitely have that information. We can give it to you right now if Kira has it. If not, we can follow up with you. Kira, can you give a breakdown of Texas plants?
Yes. So we have 30 plants in Texas that we included in our analysis. 28 of those facilities, so 93% of Texas facilities had at least one permit limit violation from 2021 to 2023. It looks like 9 facilities had administratively continued permits as of August 2024. And then that last piece. Uh, 18 facilities were identified as being in non-compliance with the Clean Water Act as of August of 2024.
All right. And, you know, there's a spreadsheet in the report. You can link on it and look at all of your states to get the breakdown. And Colleen, I know you work for the radio station. So if you need a follow-up interview, a phone interview on that point, we can definitely set it up today to help with the sound on that. If you have any other follow-up questions, shoot me an email. As I mentioned, at tpalton@environmentalintegrity.org. The report's available on our website, www.environmentalintegrity.org. And thanks to everyone. And have a great afternoon.